you'll turn with me to the New Testament, to the book of 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. A couple of weeks ago, sitting here in the service in my seat over there, and I thought, the thought for this message came to me, and I made some notes on my iPad so I wouldn't forget, and I'd planned on teaching it last Wednesday, but because I was traveling around the state for meetings, I had asked our assistant pastor, Brother Colin Taylor, to preach and teach for me. And by the way, congratulations on 10 years of ministry. Amen. But when he gave his title last Wednesday, which was Divided Devotions, I thought he's gonna teach what I was gonna do. And so I thought, well, maybe I should move on, get something else. And I didn't know what he was gonna teach, and he didn't know what I was planning on teaching until he said it. But the Lord knew, and so I felt like the Lord told me to do what he told me to do. And so, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we'll begin verse 29. The Apostle Paul says, I'm going to read tonight from the ESV. Normally I would use King James or New King James, but just for tonight I'm going to use the ESV. So the Apostle says, this is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it, for the present form of this world is passing away. I want you to be free from anxieties. That word is cares or concerns. The unmarried man is anxious, concerned about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious, concerned about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious or concerned about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious, concerned about worldly things, how to please her husband. Excuse me, I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. And that last phrase in the New King James Version actually says it this way, that you may serve the Lord without distraction. And so this Bible study tonight can be summarized by its title, which is this: don't allow distractions to destroy your devotions. Don't allow distractions to destroy your devotions. Amen. If there is only one statement that I could have us remember from this study this evening, it would be this: pure devotion requires discipline. Say that with me. Pure devotion requires discipline. Just as true as the fact that everybody worships something or someone, and that is true, so it is true that everyone is devoted to something or someone. Some people are devoted wholly and completely to themselves, to their own desires, to their wishes, to their wants, to their feelings, to their satisfactions, to their pleasures. They care little or nothing about the needs or concerns of anyone else. There is little or no room for devotion to God or a loved one. Amen. Some people are devoted completely to their careers, to the point that they can have no true family or relationships, and careers of doctors, lawyers, and pastors comes to mind. Their devotion demands a 70 to 80 hour work week, and they happily give it and boast about it. It's their identity, and they're devoted to it. But what the Apostle Paul is teaching here in the seventh chapter of his first letter to the Corinthian church are the distractions of daily life that disrupt our devotions to God. This great apostle, unlike the other great apostle Peter, is unmarried. Paul is single. And he refers to his singleness as a gift from God, stating that he would prefer that all people were as he, but that everyone has their own gift of God. And not everyone can be unmarried, obviously. Nor is it the will of God. And Paul knows that. The irony is that Paul, being unmarried, teaches the church about marriage. But that attests to the wisdom, authority, and anointing that God placed on the apostle to teach and preach and write the majority of the New Testament. I've seen young preachers try to preach about marriage, single preachers, I should say, try to preach and teach about marriage and raising kids while they themselves are unmarried and have no kids. And their message oftentimes, while perhaps well-meaning, fell flat on the ears of their audience, who were thinking, don't preach to me about marriage and how to raise my kids when you're single and have none. Amen. I've been there. I've thought those same things. But not so with the Apostle Paul. While he admits a couple of times in chapter 7 that he may say something about marriage that is not a direct commandment of God, but his own advice, he has the wisdom and authority given him by God to teach and preach to the churches then and now. And that is why his teachings are given the authority of God's word. Paul was handpicked by God on the road to Damascus for the purpose not only of preaching to the world then, but of writing what God would ordain and set in place to become his word to the world and all generations. So in the passage we have pulled from chapter 7, verses 29 through 35, Paul is writing about devotions and distractions of life, using the relationship of marriage and the state of being unmarried as his subject to teach the greater lessons of devotions and distractions, or divided devotions. His point, first of all, is that the time of the coming of the Lord is drawing near. We know that. And the current form of this world is passing away. Therefore, he is warning of distractions in our devotion. So when he says, from now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it, he is not saying leave or ignore your wife or husband. He's not saying stop mourning for the dead or mourning the dead. He's not saying quit rejoicing with your family or pretend you have no possessions and no longer deal with the world. That's not what he's saying. He is saying these things are part of everyday life. They are a natural part of life and natural occurrences, and they are natural distractions. So do not allow them to consume your day and your life and distract you from your greatest devotion, your devotions to God in prayer and fasting and the study of His Word and righteousness and holiness and worship. Amen. How easy it is to allow ourselves to be consumed by the everyday cares of life. Caring for family, caring for loved ones, caring for the home, right? Doing laundry, taking out the trash, taking out the dog, maintenance on the car, working a 40, 50-hour week, a job, serving in the church. Things that are good, things that are necessary and needful and right. Not to mention all those things that we could do without. But these good things, things we must do, can be distractions in our devotion to God. Amen. And so Paul says, look, the unmarried man has nothing else to be concerned about. He has time to be only concerned about the things of the Lord and how to please the Lord. Right? How many of us remember those times? 9 out of 10 preachers that I know personally received their call of God to the ministry while they were single. Amen. Paul is right. He says, look, the unmarried man has nothing else to be concerned about. He has time to be only concerned about the things of the Lord and how to please the Lord. But the married man, he has responsibilities to his wife and to his family. His devotions are divided. He says, the unmarried woman, she has time to be concerned about only the things of the Lord and being holy in body and in spirit. Amen. But the married woman, she has so many responsibilities to her husband and to her family, and these are good and necessary things. Marriage and family are God ordained in His perfect will for most people. The church is called His bride for a reason. A man is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. But don't allow, Paul is saying, don't allow these things to distract your devotion to what matters most. Amen. In His well-known parable of the sower, the Lord talks about the four different types of ground that the seed, which He says is the Word of God, falls on. We're all familiar with that parable. I've talked about it many times. First, there's the wayside. It's those hearts which the Word of God falls on, and immediately Satan comes and takes it away, Jesus said. Secondly, there's the stony ground. It's those hearts which the Word falls on, but it can't take root. And eventually it withers and dies. But the third ground, our heart, is the one with thorns, Jesus said. And they hear the word and they receive it at first, He said. But then He said the cares of this world, the cares of life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. What a sobering statement by the Lord. Amen. Don't simply pass over that or read it with casual complacency. For the Word of God, that powerful Word of God, which the psalmist said, God magnified above all His name, and of which He said, Thy Word, O Lord, endureth forever, which is forever settled in heaven, and of which Jesus said, one jot or one mark shall never pass away. That Word which was in the beginning, that Word by which the worlds were framed and created and are being held together, that Word which was written as God directed men to write and preserve for millennia that the world might be saved, that Word is choked out of our hearts, said Jesus, by the cares of life and the deceitfulness of our wealth and possessions, or simply put, distractions. Distractions. They can and will destroy our devotion to God's Word and to prayer and to righteousness and to faithfulness and to worship and to sowing if we allow it. Amen. This culprit of distraction is not always the big things or the big sins, but rather it's the little things. It's the mundane things. It's the everyday things. It's the things that are not sin at all, just distractions. The cares of life are time-consuming things. Not all bad, mostly necessary, but time-consuming distractions from the devotions we desperately wanted to hold on to. Amen. The cares of life, the cares of life, nothing specific, nothing really to take aim at to eliminate, just the aggregate of all the activities and responsibilities of relationships and duties and necessities of life, but they are enough to distract, to choke the word, amen, to distract us from our devotion to God and the things we desire to do in prayer and fasting and worship. The word cares in Mark 4 is derived from a root word that means to be drawn in different directions and to be distracted. The Apostle James wrote to us in his epistle concerning the deadly track that takes men into hell, and he listed the litany of foes like this. He said, tempted, lust, enticed, sin, death. He said, this is the trail that you follow. Temptation, lust, sin, and then finally death. But he said it all starts when we are drawn away, distracted. It doesn't start with a huge sin. It doesn't start with a big announcement. But subtly and slowly drawn away, distracted simply by the cares of life. Simply by those mundane things that we do every day. Simply by the necessities of life. Amen. Just relationships and duties and things that we have to do. Amen. If we are not careful, these mundane things, these necessary things can draw us away by distracting us. Amen. And causing that word of God, causing us to destroy, amen, our devotion to God. Amen. Say it with me, cares of life. Things that draw me in a different direction. Things that distract my devotion. Cares of life, anonymous, mundane things. They tend to occupy our hearts and our hands and our heads. And they possess the power, according to Jesus Christ Himself, to distract us from devotion and make the Word of God of no effect in our life. It would be a terrible thing to be so distracted, not by some heinous sin in our life, not by some heresy we fell into, not by some humiliating temptation that's haunted us, but simply by the cares of life, that our devotion to God is rendered useless and ineffective. Amen. What a terrible thing. No big sin. No sin at all, really. No big temptation, nothing earth-shattering, nothing like that. Just the simple mundane things of life. It would be a terrible thing for those, just the things that we normally do, just the necessary things of life to distract us from our devotion to God, to take us to a place, amen, where we end up in hell. That's what the Lord is saying. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus went to the home of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. The Bible says, now it happened as they went, he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. You are distracted by these many things. But then he says, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Distracted with much serving. Amen. There's nothing wrong with what you're doing, Martha. It's well. It's good. It's necessary. But it has distracted you. And it's drawing you in different directions. It is distracting you from that one thing that is most important. That one thing that is needful. And that is your devotion to the Lord. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. She is cleaning house. She is actually serving Jesus Christ. She's making dinner. She's doing this. She's making sure everything is just right for the arrival of Jesus Christ to their home. And what a privilege for His presence to be in their home. But she's so busy serving. She's so busy doing the necessary things of life. Amen. That she is distracted, Jesus said, by all these things. And Mary, on the other hand, has found the one good thing, and that is to sit in devotion at the feet of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Is he saying that the house should go unclean and fall apart? Of course not. Is he saying that all of these things cannot be done and that it all falls in on you and that everything goes to trash? Of course not. He's just simply saying don't get so distracted by the mundane things of life, by the necessary things of marriage and home life and all of these things that it destroys your devotion. Amen. That one thing that you need more than anything else. Oh, hallelujah. distractions. They can be relationships, duties, busyness, or business, jobs, pleasures, entertainment, family, finances, friends, fellowship. But in these mostly good and proper things, they can keep us from that one thing that matters most. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. If we're not careful. We're all familiar with what happened to Simon Peter, that disciple who was quick to boast of his devotion to the Lord and mean it. So devoted it was he to Jesus that when he and the other disciples saw a figure walking on the waters of the Sea of Galilee in a terrible storm, and Jesus said, "Be not afraid, it is I." Simon Peter said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Amen. I'm devoted to you, Lord. I'm so devoted to you that if you'll just call me out there, I'll step out of this boat into that storm, onto those terrible waves, into that deep and dark water, and I'll walk to you, Lord. And the Bible says that Jesus called him to come out to him on the water. And the Bible says when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. That was his devotion. Amen. But the Bible says when he saw the dark waters tossed by the raging winds, he was distracted. He was distracted by his circumstance. He was distracted by his surroundings. He was distracted by his perceived dilemma. And he was distracted by his own fear. And in his distraction, his devotion was in jeopardy, and he began to sink into the waters that surrounded him. Amen. Peter's distraction on the sea and his subsequent sinking is a metaphor for how our distraction can destroy our devotion and faith and trust in God. Amen. In our efforts at pure devotion, we can often be distracted by many things. Some are good and necessary. Others are circumstances beyond our control. But either way, distractions can and will, if we allow them, they will destroy that devotion. Amen. Coming to a close in a moment, in 2 Chronicles, Jehoshaphat, God's people, Israel, are in a time of prayer and fasting and devotion. And the Bible tells us that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon have come up against Jehoshaphat and Israel to battle. But it's not just the Moabites and the Ammonites. It says, and with them others besides them. Others besides. The Moabites and the Ammonites, they knew. They had beaten them before. But what concerned Jehoshaphat and Israel were those others besides. And when you read further down in chapter 20, you discover that those others besides are then simply called the children of Mount Seir. Now, unlike Moab and Ammon, Mount Seir is not a person. Was not a person. It's a place, not a person like Moab and Ammon. And so this was not a known enemy, a people or a nation whom they were familiar with. They were just others besides. But it was enough to distract Jehoshaphat and the Israelites in their devotion to the point of fear. Oftentimes, it's not the known enemies that distract us in our devotion. It's the others besides. The ones that are hard to identify. The ones we don't really know or understand. Amen. But I rise tonight to remind us all, don't allow distractions to destroy your devotion. Amen. Let's stand this evening. Now I'll end this how I started it. Pure devotion requires discipline. Pure devotion requires discipline. Amen. All of these things, just necessary things of marriage, Paul said. Just these obligations, responsibilities that we took on when we said, I do and I will. Amen? When we became one flesh with that husband or wife, we took on responsibilities. Amen. Obligations that are God ordained. Amen. But Paul says, in those good things, the Bible tells us it's good for a man to find a wife, right? Or when a man finds a wife, he's found a good thing, right? And so Paul is saying marriage is good if that's for you. He said it's not for me. And maybe it's not for some people, but he said if it's for you, it's good because it is a God-ordained institution. Amen. It was from the very beginning in the garden. And it will be until the end of time, right? Until the end of this earth. And even, again, as I mentioned earlier, even his church is called his bride, the bride of Christ. And so it's all good things. And so whether it's with our husband or wife or children or just our work or just the home, or all these things that are necessary, a necessary part of everyday life that are good, or serving in the church, or serving in Harvest Ministers, or whatever it might be. But the point is, just don't let those things distract you from that first and foremost devotion, amen, and that is your devotion to Almighty God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Pure devotion requires discipline. Amen.